consortium separation like this one are showing us that there was a phase of acceleration in our past, and in our cold inflation, and in our present. I mean, I was one of the one who proposed the new epilogue universe. So there is a real alternative for the early universe inflation, but I think it's still true that inflation is still more compelling, though it's good to keep an open mind. But anyway, even at least for the present, we have a phase of acceleration in the universe, quasi-sitter phase, and it can be even eternal, and becomes really, really very similar to the sitter space. This cosmological observation married very nicely with the theoretical discovery, which is the landscape instinct theory. This discovery is very important because it allows us to integrate very nicely the boundary solution to the cosmological constant problem, which says that if you have a theory with many, many vacua, you end up with the one with the cosmological constant, which is just small enough so that structure has type of form. This is an anthropic explanation of the cosmological constant, which is, although debated, I think is the best so far available. And atomic inflation enters in the game because it definitely offers the natural mechanism to populate all these vacua, and therefore for the observer to be the one with the right parameters. So because of these two things, in particular the connection to the solution of the cosmological constant, which was the biggest problem in physics, atomic inflation, I think, has become extremely important. However,
you're saying this is a solution to the cosmological constant?
I think so, yeah, the Warburg argument. It's an anthropic explanation. Of course, yes. I use the name of Warburg to defend
me.
That's
from Warburg.
That's not very reasonable. Usually in physics we use logic.
Actually, yeah. Yes, Mark, I mean, you wanted to rule out.
But when you look in detail, it doesn't really, it doesn't solve the problem.
Because there are two order magnitudes less, I mean, it's not really...
I mean, for many reasons. The probability, there's no, you know, one is ignoring any prior probability or physics probability to be in different vector. Are you assuming they're all equally probable?
Yeah.
But typically they would be exponentially different if you have some tunnel process. The probability to be one rather than the other is exponentially different. Then you have a whole discrete set of possibilities. And so if you work out the probability, it's a very spiky function. He assumed a smooth function.
Yeah.
No reason for smoothness. And then you say, what is the probability after all? And so he assumes it's the number density of galaxies. Even though the universe is infinite, it doesn't mean anything. So he accepts this. I mean, you're saying,
yes.
But the universe, each bubble is infinite. So what he says, I knew that. There's no physics. Yeah.
I agree. It's a complicated question. What
so let's not say room? Let's not say there's a solution when we don't have any physics behind it. It's like declaring victory before you've done anything.
No, I don't. Okay, okay. I'm working on the stuff just because I don't declare victory. But I think what they're raising are puzzles, like measuring the time inflation in the universe.
You mustn't claim a solution.
No, you're right. But I think it is. Okay, to me, it's still, with this puzzle, it's still promising.
Okay.
I feel it makes sense. It's the best thing so far. It's closest so far. But it's true. I mean, no problem at all. And in fact, I think since it is this thing is a very interesting thing to explore, I think it's better to explore much better. I think it's a difficult task because inflation is complicated, and also because there are puzzles with the sitter entropy that we'll talk at the end. And I think just this model is very detailed studies. So, what is inflation? I have a concept about rolling inflation, and inflation is just realized by a standard scalar field rolling in a very flat potential. This is never given exponential expansion to a quasi-sitter phase when the flipper is up the potential. Now, what is eternal inflation? Well, because of the difficulty scale of the problem is Abbot to the minus 1. So, in one Abbot time, the advancement of the field is of order 5 dot h minus 1, classical advancement. However, since the field lives in the sitter, there is a quantum jump every Abbot time of order Abbot. When the quantum jump becomes, which goes left or right, becomes larger than then the classical advancement, then the inflation is as probable to go up left or right, and the inflation clearly doesn't die. This is when phi dot over h squared becomes less of order 1. And this is eternal inflation. Now, this picture is pretty physically right, and it makes sense. However, I think that given the importance of eternal inflation now, it's better, I think it's necessary to make much more precise statement about time inflation and characterize it precisely. And I think there are two problems immediately. One is the semi-classical regime is gone. And here, the quantum fluctuations are bigger than the classical one. And also, naively, you are no more in an FRW universe, because delta rho over rho after inflation is the word that, if you do a standard calculation, h squared over phi dot. But at the time inflation, this becomes a guessing equal to 1. And this makes you suspect that you cannot, the space-time with time inflation is not really close to the FRW, a nice symmetric space-time. It's much more complicated and difficult to study. However, I don't think the situation is so bad. Because when we're talking about the eternal inflation, we're making the flatness of the potential bigger and bigger. The slope smaller and smaller. This means that this parameter.
Yes. Is that your statement that if delta rho over rho is of order 1, then you're not close to the FRW? Because that's not true. So.
On large scale. What?
Right. Well.
Now. Yeah, but here on large scale. Yes.
Yeah, but even. So if it's very large scale, it's going to still be locally close to the FRW. And of course, that's what happens in general. So globally, of course. So I guess what maybe you're.
So you're talking about one hour, but I think I'm talking about globally.
Okay. Sorry,
yes, because when you do, yes, I mean, it was for really doing statistics study completely. Yeah, the global picture. Yeah, I agree with you. But
can I just make a comment on the previous slide too? Because when you say the quantum is bigger than classical. Quantum is always bigger than classical on short times.
Yes, yes, yes.
So this doesn't really mean very much.
No, I agree. It's at the scale of relevant. I think at the scale of relevant of the problem. Okay, this was a very angry argument. I don't think to me this was improving the reflection factor. I would want to do something different. But I think it's a good measure to measure the quantum fluctuation, the scale of the problem that you care about. And this is Hubble. So it's. If you want the regress speed, the normalized scale of the Hubble.
Is it really the Hubble or is it the entire duration of inflation? Because if I ask how big is the quantum contribution over the history of inflation, that would be averaging the quantum noise over a long period of time, and then the classical one will certainly dominate. So
well, but there is a
quantum one.
It becomes an random walk. In the case
so it's not coherent.
Yeah,
the classical is coherent.
No,
the coherence motion always wins.
Yeah, yeah.
Over an extended period of time. So I'm not sure, you know, surely one wants to ask over the entire.
The argument to this means that one apple patch, there's always this one apple patch alive, if you want. But it's true, it's not a very engaging balance statement. I think I will give you a very precise. The point was exactly going beyond this. But please ask before. So we are saying that. Yeah, the inflation are going to very, very small, very low slack potential. And therefore, if you have a time inflation, that is, you didn't yet undergo reheating, then the magnetic fluctuations, you can solve that. And therefore, the square direction of H of Planck, that is, even closer to the one, very small, even smaller than standard inflation. This is because the potential is very flat. Jumping backward or forward doesn't change the stress energy tensor. So the resistive space is not unperturbed. So before inflation, it is still very good. Perfect FRW. Perfect is almost like a residual. Also, we have seen that this quantum fluctuation mainly looks bigger. But this might be not so much a problem, because what is really a problem for the quantum fluctuation to be larger is if the system becomes strongly coupled. Now, the dimensionless measurement of this interaction of the how much thing is interacting is the ratio of the cubic Lagrangian action over the quadratic action at the relevant energy scale, which is Hubble. And again, if you do the algebra, you will find the same result for the metric. A result which is suppressed by the wrong parameter. Again, this is just for the very flatness of the potential. And this means that it's still existing in quantum, but it is almost a free field. So we have hope to, it shouldn't be so hard to study. In particular, this picture can be represented by the following way. If I take a slice of an inflating universe, each point will have even got the inflation for some time, some time, some time. And then inflation is at a point that the first phi will reach a certain value of phi, phi reheating, where the universe stops accelerating and the standard for W universe begins. The duration varies a little between point and point just because each point there are small quantum fluctuations, but roughly not that much. And then later the standard for W universe begins. Slightly perturbed because this surface is slightly perturbed. This is the surface of reheating. Now, when you go to make the potential vector effect and you go to thermal inflation, then the point here lives in the sitter, and it's even closer to the sitter than before, because the potential is no effect. What changes is that it's obvious that the duration of this inflationary period changes much more between time and time, between place and place. And this means that after inflation, after reheating, the universe is very hard. If I take the surface of equal time here, since after inflation, the energy density shifts by order of one monopole time, while before it was constant. Then here we have a very, very different energy density, which means very close space. However, from this side, we see we can study the problem. And in particular, if I concentrate on this surface, this is the surface where phi is equal to phi e, this is the heating surface. It's a very physical surface. It's the surface where the temperature is 10 to the 5 Kelvin. It's very well defined. You see that this surface, as you go to this thermal inflation, become look like something strange going on. Becomes very cold, maybe not even, who knows if it's connected or not. So maybe there is something going on with this surface, and let's study that. We can, because from this side we can describe it.
But what is the gauge independent way of saying that? Because I could see as long as the y surface is a space, but I don't see a difference between the two. How do you?
You mean, yes, you could do it for the minor point. I mean, I was just saying, you can say when the value of the phi is equal to a certain value. So phi is like a clock, so saying it's a physical clock, so saying a physical, yes, but this is not just, I was trying to distinguish between saying this is the surface is weighted by the volume of the number of cells, this kind of stuff.
So at the certain phi, I measure the curvature, is that?
At a certain value of phi, it's a variety, you have the metric, and you compute the volume of this surface. Mm-hmm. So if you start from a finite volume, okay, this is not a direct inflation. So let's say that I start from a finite volume. Then if you're not in a finite inflation, all the realization of finite, this will follow probability distribution, but there is never a probability of an infinite volume. In the inflation, we see that there is a probability.
Okay. Can you make this clear? This is a plot of what against what? T against what?
X.
I can't see the space.
Yes, X. These are different aspects.
X is what variable?
It's space.
It's like space. Yeah. This is like a block of space time. X is different position. Yeah, each point is space and there goes is history of the real inflation.
But just to go back one question, that on the internal inflation side,
yes,
that boundary is not everywhere space-like, isn't it?
Yeah, it becomes space-less if you smooth the field of scale, as we will do, it's much smaller than Hubble. Much larger than Hubble. Length scale, much larger, longer than Hubble to the minus one. Energy scale, very small, smaller than Hubble. Then the probability that this is not space-like is very small. And the reason is that, as small as you want, because there is an expansion. So it's very curved, but then you're stretching this very... As soon as it goes out of the horizon, it gets stretched, so it wants to be flat. But I can... Now, so as I was just saying, also about this surface, as we were saying before, is not really well defined because the surface phi equal phi heating is a surface when the scalar field is equal to phi heating. But what does it mean? In the ultraviolet, the fluctuations are huge. But the point is that we can have a fluctuation, as I was saying before, of order half. That is, we want that if the field crosses this value phi equal phi heating and does it for a quite a long amount of time, so that the metric can react and go out of inflation, then you don't come back anymore and you really have inflation. This means that we can have this time scale much smaller than, or time scale much longer than Hubble. So we smooth the field on scale lambda much smaller than Hubble. This is good for reheating and also to achieve a nice result that the commutator between delta phi and delta phi dot goes to zero in this regime. This means that the system, the inflaton, can be described in this case like a classical stochastic variable with a Gaussian statistics. The Gaussian statistics just come from the fact that, as we said before, the interactions are very, very small. I can neglect them to the first approximation. And therefore, in this regime, the very distribution of the scalar field, to have a certain value of the scalar field, except if you start at time equals 0, at time equals t, if you start at time equals 0, for example, value of phi, follows just a Gaussian distribution in each point in space. The probability at each point in space to have a certain value of phi, given some initial condition, follows a Gaussian distribution, which is a deviation of phi from the classical motion. That is, this is like the phi minus the classical. You pay if you want the jump, which is far from the classical. But the variance, because of each double time you're getting a quantum jump, it becomes more the growth of t element time, h cubed t. This is like a really a random walk. As a time, if I plot the value of phi as a function of time, phi starts from some point, and it grows bigger in time on average because this is just a classical motion. But there is a random walk on that. And the second point will cross finity. Each point will cross sooner or later finity because the drift, the classical motion.
Excuse me, phi bar means.
Except an angle phi.
An average over the homogeneous patch.
On a scale of order, over the lambda, yes. On a homogeneous, yes.
It's a spatial average over a homogeneous patch.
Yeah.
And this is a bit deviation from the spatial average over a homogeneous
patch. Yeah, yes, yes. Different from the classical average.
Is there a potential at this point? Or?
Yeah, but the potential, yes. The potential is this phi dot here. Is this classical, which is very, very small, but it's there. And that's why. So each point crosses, yes. But
this is a very, very approximate formula. It's actually it's following motion at some potential.
Yeah, but I think
which is changing.
Yeah, but I think this is next order in zero parameter. And I'm doing a spatial zero parameter. And the condition for the inflation means that delta this potential should reflect enough in a region delta phi over the refuable. And then you can, of course,
very,
you don't care about
the long
discussion.
I haven't quite understood. Phi bar is an average value over homogeneous patch. Phi is what?
Phi is the initial field,
which is a function of x? It's a function of what?
You can think of a function of x, but this is like, consider one single point, you started at time equals 0, at the value phi equal this phi here. This is the initial condition, time equals 0. Then you want to ask, at time equals t, what is the probability that my value of field is equal to phi bar? And this is the probability distribution.
It's just a function of time, but independent of x?
So there's a random.
I will choose that it doesn't depend on x. I can choose. This is the initial condition, each point of the scalar field. You can think that it doesn't depend on x, because I will start with initial condition homogeneous in the universe. Okay. I want an initial upper patch, which is inflating. Okay? Now we want to study this probability distribution of the volume of after inflation. Now, so at this point, we have this Gaussian system. We would like to sum over all this, do a sort of path integral over all the space time realization of inflation, and then compute the probability of this reheating surface. Now, this path integral is, of course, very difficult. But as we do for path integral, we can discretize the system and study the discretized version. And here is a discretized version of inflation, which is called Batilia model, because this comes from biology, we use a lot. So this is a system where time is discrete, and this is like an inflaton potential line, the flat part of the potential, and there are discrete sides here. There is a bacterium that at each site I, at each site step, this is a bacterium which lives at site I, and at each site step, it reproduces itself, producing children, and each one jumps, probably P on the left and one minus P on the right. Let's see that this is really a discretized version of inflation. The fact that each time step, suppose this is the inflation is here, at each step it produces a few upper patches. These are the number of children that the bacterium reproduces. There is a special point in this line. Of course, the position of this line is the size I, is like phi over delta phi, some spacing. And the time is over the n over delta t. Now, there is also the motion here is the difference between p and 1 minus p, sorry, the difference between p and 1 half is nothing but the fact that there is a classical drift from the inflaton. There is a slight slope in this potential line, and you want to go to this point here. In fact, this point here is a special point, when the bacteria reaches this point, the bacteria dies, which means that as time goes on, it keeps staying here and never reproducing itself. These are the points each bacteria is like an apple patch, and these are the apple patch which accept inflation. These are the apple patch which have undergone reheating. Studies the surface of reheating, the volume of the surface of reheating is equivalent to study the number of the probability distribution of the number of bacteria here. But in fact, it's even more than just a discretized model. This is really a discrete version of inflation. In fact, if you study the probability to have bacteria J, psi J, oh sorry, this is I, psi J, this is psi J, a time step n plus 1, it's equal to 1 minus p, the probability that the bacteria deformed time step was on the left, plus p, the probability that the bacteria was 1 on the right. Now, if you do as you do for classical discrete model, you say that n is t times delta t, j is 5 over delta phi, and you can expand, then you get this complicated looking equation. It doesn't matter you to look at the thing, but just notice that this is like time, so this is a time evolution, and this is like a space, like the value of the field phi, which is like a space coordinate, and that this is a second derivative, so it's like a diffusion process with some drift. And in effect, this tells us this is a diffusion process with some drift, and if you take the limit, delta phi delta t goes to zero, in such a way, for example, that phi dot is equal to delta phi over delta t, 1 minus 2p. This is very intuitive. This is, of course, phi dot is delta phi over delta t, but times the difference between p and 1 half. Or the number of children is 1 over plus 3h delta t. That is, in each delta t time, how many children you do is equal to 3h delta t. So there is 5. And also, this is just because of diffusion. We regard the classical stochastic equation for the inflaton, the one of Starobinsky. And this means that if the continuum limit the system reproduces inflation, and in particular, we match several quantities, just to be sure, and you can compute several quantities of inflation in both with this language, and then take the limit, and direct with the inflaton, and they agree.
What's sigma square?
Yeah, sigma square is the time, it's just h cubed t, so I didn't write because it's not important, it's like a normalized time. But because I'm not,
so you've somehow put the volume factor into this equation?
No.
Well, you have. You said n is the volume.
Ah, sorry. I thought we do about volume. This
yeah.
Is, yeah, yeah. This is.
Where is that?
Sorry, I was thinking you were talking about the global volume. No, this is like, yes, the number of reproduction is how much the universe expands. Yes.
So you are just putting that into the equation. Where is it? I can't see which term it is. You put n in it. Where did the e cubed appear?
Yeah, sorry, let me think a second.
You never put it in.
No, because this is just the part for the single apple patch.
Right.
But then if you compute, for example, with this figure, then you can compute the. Yeah, because I'm not thinking anymore. This was just a single part, so it was rough. But okay, this is the equation. This matches this thing. But then, because this is an apple patch, so it doesn't know really about the volume. But then, if you compute the reading volume, the volume for some quantity, like the average reading volume, then this gives the matching. You compute the average, and this gives you the matching. The average of the space surface. Now you know all the apple patches, so this is fixed. And then you compute the variance, several other quantities, and they all match.
So you can only do this.
Yeah, you need one more equation, yes.
Okay. So this is not a complete description for the probability. For the probability of...
I think it is, because this fixes all the parameters now.
Well, this is just a local equation.
No, the one... Yes, I need another one, which I didn't show, because I'm not too... This is just to introduce the model. I need another one. This one of the average. But we can,
You'll use that later.
No, because that's it. Yeah, I'm doing now a different path. Okay, so it was just to say that this bacteria model is not that absurd. Okay. So now, so we studied this bacteria model. Now, this bacteria model, of course, if you're interested, I can explain more. But, the path more useful to study inflation now is a different one, which is study the discrete version of the problem. It's much easier. And in particular, because discrete version, what we will have to study? We will study this quantity, which is the probability that a time step n If you start with 1 bar theta psi I, you get k0 bar theta is psi 0, k1 bar theta psi k1, and kn bar theta the last sign, kn, let's say that there is a last sign here. This is the probability distribution of the bar theta, this is what I want to know. And that one can construct from this key model, and that's what they use. This generative function, which is a function of the time step at which I talked about, the site at which you begin, at time zero, you were beginning inflation, where you were, and then this L variable as generated for one for each site, and each one goes from zero to one. And then you construct this function, parallel loop, completely looking, which is at the moment that the table coefficients you see are connected to some a proportion to the probability that you want to start. Now, the nice property is that if you group all the FIs, there is one I for each site, then if you group them in a vector, so you get L, a vector with L rows, then you call it capital F. This, the capital, the generating function for all these sites at time N plus 1 is nothing but F1, the generating function times step 1, applied to the generating function times step n. That is F1, which is the generating function for one time step, it is just the time evolutor of the generating function. And to get the generating function, you just need to iteratively apply F1 to the time you want. In particular, we want to study the probability distribution of the volume at the end of inflation. That is, when everything is done and everything is finished, that is a time equal infinity. And this means that n for us wants to be infinity, and we get this really a nice equation, that is, that means that the generative function of the probability distribution at infinity, the final distribution of the bacteria, is the fixed point of the time evolutor. Of course, the time evolutor doesn't do anything after infinity. In particular, if infinity has some people, simple transit property, sorry, there is a cut, and okay. I will tell you if there are questions, please ask. Yeah. But f infinity is even simpler to study than f of n, just as n, because f infinity is only a function of s0, which is, if you want, the conjugate variable to the number of dead bacteria, which is really what, at the end, what we want to study. The reason, mathematically, the reason is that this function here is strictly convex with respect to all the si variables different from 0, and this means that, and it also is between 0 and 1. So if you apply F1 many, many times, this is F1, you go to a constant, either like this or like this, but you go to a constant. Physically, this is just mathematical. Physically, it means that if you have a realization which is not infinite, then at infinite time, you don't have any live bacteria. So since there are not any live bacteria, the function cannot depend on this size, because otherwise there would be a probability of some bacteria alive at time equal infinity. So, if the realization is not infinite, it cannot depend on SI. If the realization is infinite, that this population is lower forever, then at time equal infinity, the probability to have any, the probability of the population at each site is equal to infinity, because they are reproduced for infinite time. And therefore, the probability of having any finite number is zero. And this explains physically why. So, again, it cannot depend, even the realization which are infinite, it cannot depend on SI, different from zero. So, that's why F infinity can depend only on zero. S0. This means that this complicated looking function, generative function, for a time equal infinity becomes just a simple function, which means the sum of the fact that if you, the probability that if you start at a time equal zero, a psi j, you are having k delta t a time infinity, and so it's this simple looking function. Now, we're getting closer to the starting point, because now, this, how do we find this f infinity? This f infinity is the fixed point of the time evolutor f1 and f infinity, a single step of infinity, and I'm sorry, this is cut, I think we know it, so let's, if I take f1, this was a f1i for each site, this is just this direct f1 at each site, how is that for this model, 1 minus p? And P. It is just, so this is like the distribution of site, the generative function for site, if you start at site I, so there's an I here, it is 1 minus P times the variable conjugate to the guy as at I plus 1, plus P, the site, the conjugate corner is I minus 1, which is SI minus 1, times the number, everything to the power, the number of reproduction. Just this, just to show you the various term. Of course, how to derive it is more complicated, but it's not that complicated.
What is n sub r?
Is the number of children you do at each test f, which we said in the continuum limit becomes 1 plus 3h delta t.
Okay.
Now, for this equation, therefore, the fixed point is that the generating function tending to infinity for the site I, if you start at site I, is just 1 minus p, the generating function of the site r plus 1, just using the fixed point, of s0 plus p, f r minus 1, s0, and everything to the anR. So we get an equation, now we get an equation for this generating function time infinity. So we're getting to closer to be able to study. In fact, we're almost done, because we started from the inflaton, and we discretize it, and now I'm closing the loop and taking the continuum limit again. This is the only way, this convoluted way is the only way I was able to do. So we found the equation for the generating function in the discrete chain here. And now, as we saw before, one can take the infinite, set the spacing to zero, and get the full inflaton distribution. In particular, I mean, this is the standard thing, and therefore I becomes phi plus delta phi, and the equation of before, which was a function of I plus 1, I plus 1, plus 1, becomes this. And then I can expand and take the limit delta phi delta t to zero, as we saw before, with the same matching condition that we saw before. And we're getting this almost complicated looking equation. Now, this is a differential equation. I got it for that. It's not that complicated. It's f infinity of phi. There is a second derivative here. There is a first derivative here. And then there is like a potential term with some coefficients. So we're getting a differential equation for this generative function at time infinity. In particular, there are some boundary conditions, which means that f infinity for phi equals 0, that is, if you start at this point, phi is what was I, that is the initial point of the field. F is equal to S0, and then there is a condition the bar here doesn't play. Now, and what is this quantity? Let's remind us ourselves what is this quantity. This quantity was F, the distribution was the generative function if you start at say J at infinity, time equal infinity, was the sum of the probability distribution of every value population of bacteria. In the continuum limit, J becomes phi, the initial point on the inflaton potential, and the sum becomes, the sum was on the number of dead bacteria. But the number of bacteria is the number of reliable batches. This is the integral over the volume of the lead itself is the volume we're looking for. Oh, the probability that if you start with the inflaton potential equal phi at time zero, you're getting a number of dead bacteria, this is a volume equal V, and times a zero to the V. This integral is nothing but this is a zero. If you call it log zeta, if you call it zeta log of a zero, this is nothing but the Laplace form of the distribution, the probability distribution of the rating surface. This is what we're looking for. So we're looking for the probability distribution of the volume of the rating surface if you start at the value equal phi, initial value equal phi, and we're going to study it. After all this journey is that you take the Laplace transform with respect to the volume and then you solve this differential equation for the Laplace transform and then you go back. And you transform back and you get the probability distribution for the volume after the inflation. So now we begin to study this. Now we are going very a little far from standard inflation, because now we have to study. We saw that to get the quantity, physical quantity we can, which is the volume, the probability distribution of the volume of the reheating surface, we need to study this equation. Here I have this scale with the variable, I call tau, something which is proportional to the scalar field, which is proportional to the number of refolding on the classical trajectory.
So where did the volume come from in the last equation?
The volume is in the discrete case, k is 1 to how many bacteria you have.
Yeah.
And this is how many apple patches are. So I'm something over, you have 1, 2 apple patches, this is like the volume. How much is the volume? In unit of apple apples, how much is the volume?
So you're saying this is volume in units of apple?
Yes. Okay. In particular, what I will compute always is the ratio between the initial volume and the final volume. How much?
So yeah. You're including the fact that a patch can turn into many volumes?
Yeah.
Each independent patch can now get going?
Yes, that's... This
so is the, I didn't quite see where you put fed in.
This was the number of children. The number of children was not just PhD. And in the generative function, in the generative function, you see that there is an R here. So there is an R here. And then when I take the continued limit, there is still an R here, you see. And then I take the continued limit with the prescription I told before, that is an R is 1 plus VH delta T. I know already the matching condition. This is like a matching to theories. This was the matching condition, and it enters. It enters because otherwise, yeah. Okay, so again, very scared. So let's remember that we are starting, we start, this is the potential, we have phi leading. We start at time 0 for a certain value of phi, and the value of phi is proportional to the number of classical foldings I can call phi and classical folding. In particular, because the volume, I can always write as e to the 3n, and then can be the classical one or the one. And so this is a little. So after all this journey, we saw that we just have to study this probability distribution, this differential equation, which after this scalar variable, this is nothing else that the problem of a particle, this is the acceleration of a particle as a function of time, tau is the time, with an anti-friction term, second friction term with the minus, and moving a potential. But here is another potential, this is just the potential. And what this differential equation with the boundary condition, okay, now I define the initial condition at this zeta, but it doesn't matter too much. And what we have to solve? We have to find the solution to this simple particle moving this potential, which starts at a certain value, at time equals zero, starts at a certain value of zero here. This function is to be between zero and one because it was generating function. And therefore, its motion will be if I send the time, the value, if in the case of the lifting line, which is simple when we do just that, it is the motion should always stay inside this interval between zero and one. And so we just climb the solution will be such that it just starts, climb up the potential, and then slow down, and in infinite time reaches this stop. This is the solution we're looking for. Eh?
So I'm a little confused. So at each step, you have these Hubble patches,
yes.
With this volume, but then at next step, when you calculate the probability for the whole Hubble patch, you have only one piece.
The way that the patch works, roughly speaking, is that of course we're thinking then because I can tell you, but at each double time you have one double patch. This produces n children, e to the three children, and now you have e to the three double patches, which starts from where you were at your value, and then each of them goes into his own life, either they die or they reproduce or how many times, and they are included in this. So if I do, and then I will set this Laplace form. I think this is interesting because it's so far now from, say, I'm studying inflation, that maybe there is something, as you would say, it contains a lot of information. So we have to, unfortunately, we don't know exactly the analytic solution, this solution, but you can see that it should be something like that.
What is the shape of the
difference? The log comes from the reproduction, so it's the...
the f squared times...
Well, just integrate this one.
U is defined so
sorry, that was the
U df. It's U df equal to
f log f.
The determined f log upstairs.
Sorry? Yes?
But the U of f comes, it's obtained by integration.
Yeah, U prime is equal to this. Yes. Yeah, in the question of motion, you have the prime.
So you make a mechanical model.
Yeah, now it's like studying Italian fish is like studying a mechanical problem. And, and already without knowing the solution, we've already seen the phase transition to eternal inflation. We already see the eternal inflation because I have to study this differential equation, of which I don't know the solution. But the property of the Laplace transform, the integral over all the finite volumes of the probability distribution of the volume, is equal to f at the solution at a certain time, tau, if you start with z equal to 0. If you start at the bottom of the potential here. This means, at least to understand, but this is very important, this is the normalization of the probability distribution, means that what is the probability that my volume is finite? Okay. So this means that for getting this quantity, I'm interested in the initial condition when the particle was starting near the origin, and therefore I can just get some idea to set the linear solution around the bottom of the potential. And the answer to the question becomes this, very simple. Of course, there is now an analytic solution, and which is this one. Notice this one, of course, is a sum of exponential, but there is something tricky going on when omega, there is a change in behavior at omega 1 or minus 1. And in particular, this omega is nothing but the product of relation with 4, for the square relation with 4. This is the parameter we found before when the very rough argument with delta phi 1 to delta phi class. This was the relation was random of order 1. Now we have seen that some stage goes on when very precisely with the bias and everything, this quantity changes from being bigger or smaller.
You assume it's a constant. Is that right?
Yes, I'm assuming, yeah, assuming it's a what? Yeah, one can include the Rolle correction, but just it becomes
to an extent, these are two different models.
Two different models?
Yeah, I mean, it's an accurate model and the previous. Say Hamiltonian picture. So, to what extent they are different?
No, in the sense that this is like, I mean, the simple function produced by this thing is exactly equal to the one of the inflator. But then, under the argument, what do you call a delta phi graph quantum? The 1.1 sigma, 1.5 sigma to sigma, it was completely.
In terms of in relation to cosmology, real cosmology, do you think so? This is a more realistic model to cosmology, or that is more realistic to cosmology? Or they are say,
the one we talked before, the one which quantum jumps wasn't even well defined. I mean, we already, the last question was already, yeah, what are you talking about, which is was true, I think. In fact, that. I mean, in fact, if you ask Guter, what is the number you are getting in that argument with if? Because, of course, it wasn't well defined. So, this is just making very precise those things. Okay.
But the idea is your discretized model should reproduce the long wave length correlation.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. That's the matching. If you want, this is the matching.
So, these two models should agree at long wave.
Well, the model with the inflatron, yes. not the quantum jumps.
No.
That's
how this has been normalized to agree with the quantum field.
Yeah, those are the magic conditions we discussed. Yes, you need to. This is like when you do an effect, two different effective theories, you have the magic condition. It's very similar. So now, we said that there is a different behavior, sorry, yeah? There is a different behavior at omega less or bigger than 1. Yeah? And let's see how it is the solution. Now, we want to study the problem, and let's see that this tells us that there is a phase transition. Because when you go up, we want to study the solution of starting here at time 0 and then going up with anti-friction and stop here. It's simpler to see the time reverse process. The time reverse process is that starts at some position here and begin to go down with friction. Now, with friction, this problem is just an overdamped, with omega bigger than 1, this doesn't oscillate, it's just an overdamped solution. This means that if you start here and you go down, and you go down with zero speed, you go down, and at a certain point you cross a point here, you cross it with some time. But if you want to know what time you cross the point, the bottom of the potential, it's time before infinity, because it's not that over, it's over there for the monetization. So it takes an infinite time to get to here. This means that in the time reverse process that I care about, if I start at time equal zero from this point, the velocity from which I come out from this point is zero. So it takes really an infinite amount of time to come out and climb up the solution, the potential. It is, if I plot f, this is solution, if I plot f in a function of the initial condition, if I start from a point here, well, I just start, in the middle, I just start and f goes rapidly to zero. And now, if I send the initial condition to closer and closer to zero equal one, it takes more and more time for it to begin to come up, and then the limit, more and more time, and the limit is zero goes to zero, this is really an infinite amount of time. This means that if I look at f at certain time, f of tau at certain time, it's equal to one. This means that this integral, is very important, because this integral, the integral of all finite volume, the probability distribution is one. This means that the volume is finite, all the realizations, all the possible, every time you try, you're getting a finite volume. This means that never the volume is infinite. Mm-hmm. This is, you're not getting an inflation. For omega bigger than 1, you're not getting an inflation. Now, for omega less than 1, what occurs? Again, this becomes a not more anti-overdamped harmonic oscillator. This is, if I do the time reverse process, again, the time reverse process starts from here and go down. But now, the harmonic oscillator is no more overdamped. This means that the guy starts here, begins to roll down, and then just crosses and oscillates, that's sometimes here. This means that he crosses the point tau 0 in a finite amount of time. This means that the process with this point with a non-zero speed. When I do the time reverse process, because I want to start from here and go up, here I will start with a non-definite speed, and I begin to go up, and in a finite time, I go up and just move from f equal 1. The solution, therefore, is something like that. If you start from somewhere in the middle, well, you just go up and you reach 0. But as you send zeta to this initial condition to the bottom of the potential, this is zeta 1 and zeta equals 0, you are still coming out, the solution is still coming out with some velocity and moves to f equals 0, f close to 0. This means now that f of tau at the second value is less than 1, not 1. Before it was 1, now it's less than 1. But this f of tau less than 1 is the probability, the integral over all the probability of all the finite void. This means that the probability of having any finite volume is less than 1. This means there is some finite probability, non-zero, to have infinite volume. This is really the definition of metaverification. It wasn't done before. This is more than the average divergence, because this is really that you have a finite probability of having infinite volume. This is really, say, if I start inflation, I might never end. And this we proved in a formal paper with a different method, which was much complicated. And we already found this phase transition. Now, this is the phase transition. We already there are the pies and everything. And we also know that it's sharp. It's really what defines really the phase transition.
So tau is like thin, but it's
yeah, tau is proportional to the initial condition. So what is time in this mechanical problem is like your initial condition of the inflaton potential. Of course, the volume you produce will depend on where you start. Even without an inflation, the higher you start, the more volume you produce. So, and now, unfortunately, in this quite unintuitive, in this problem, this is much like time. I think it's a little hard, very unintuitive, but I think that's also quite promising, because I don't think it has been much explored. It's so far from what you would naively do.
So you think about so tau equal to zero is the bottom of the potential. So yeah. What does that refer? Where is
the
that?
Fine heating.
Yeah.
Well, you don't produce any more. If you start there, you don't produce any.
So you think it's omega at that point? Is that because omega of course is not constant?
It's not the problem. So I think for very large intervals, you don't care the variation of omega. In particular, you can put the disparate effect and. In fact, as I was saying, the correction was like delta phi over h to the minus 2. So until if delta phi reaches its constant is much larger than Hubble, you have no problem.
But you see, your argument is based on what happens around the minimum of the potential, which is just when reheating happens, right? So.
No, but yeah, but omega doesn't change. You know, this interval omega doesn't change because the scalar parameters are tiny. So you have a very large interval in terms of Hubble units in which the omega is roughly constant. Then you can, it's a little bit, you can argue what
it's like. What is omega for ms squared phi squared? It's like 1 over phi or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's over the order.
It's phi. It does change. If phi varies a lot.
No, yes, if phi, yes, but I agree with you.
So omega gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah, it changes, but
slowly.
Very slowly, and you can put finite this thing in there, and you see that the other parameter is this thing. This means that if I take a potential like this one, I mean, that it doesn't change of this order. I mean, if omega is equal to 1, for a few Hubble length in few space, you get this result.
So in defining this probability distribution, why don't you run into the
measure problem? No, because, just computing the volume of a physical surface. I start with a finite volume, and I compute the volume of this physical surface. There is no measure. The measure is just, here there is no issue to measure. The measure is just the integral of the metric on the surface. I'm just doing GR,
I think it's
no.
Just a difference between finite and infinite. Doesn't matter.
Of course, I'm not going to tell you anything about how the volumes which are infinite are distributed. I'm just going to do a quantity, which is the integral of the self. Either it's finite, and if it's negative, or it's infinite. And when it's infinite,
So this just tells you that when omega becomes smaller than 1, there is no measure.
It means that there are some realization. It's a different problem.
You cannot use the volume as a measure. That's what it's
doing. Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
And then there's no alternative. So it tells you that theory has self-destructed.
No, I thought I wanted to start in trouble. I wasn't very big.
Actually, I don't understand why that argument. So what happens if omega is less than 1? You're just saying that the inflation ends. That doesn't...
That the probability that inflation ends is smaller than 1. And yes, some probability to have eternal inflation. Now, when you are in the eternal inflation regime, I don't know. I'm not studying the problem. I say that I have some probability of an infinite volume. Then if you want to ask how are this volume distributed, what is the pool, what I don't know.
Sorry.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't expect somebody.
So sort of like you have been providing a global picture of how to tell there may or may not be or not. But suppose I just ask the question. Suppose I am an observer and I'm trying to see through. I pass at home and I can only see a fine patch of the repeating surface. So do you have some sort of say criterion of how kinky that the repeating surface have to be, or say sort of argument along that line, just to tell me that if I observe a large enough patch of repeating surface that I know probably in the inflating regime, so that part of space-time probably has been through some sort of say term inflation. So do you have some sort of more local criterion?
No, because when you have a closed inflation, the sort of rho is worth 1, both here and here. It's 1 plus epsilon, 1 out of epsilon, and locally, no. I think that in infinite time, you distinguish very clearly. This is the Perozai. So the Perozai, if inflation is finite, it's the theta, and then it's Minkowski diffusion.
Absolutely.
Instead, if it is a realization, which is a term, another geometry statistic, then you have a singularity here. So in infinite time, you know, because everything enters inside the horizon, but in the future, finite time, in infinite time.
That is the case where we have many.
Well, this is the realization which are not there. The particular realization which is the volume is finite. Yeah. Because now the inflation is not either eternal or non eternal. The parameters can be. You can be even in the parameters of eternal inflation, but the volume will be finite. You have to just remind the eyes and you just have to remove the finite volume. There is a distinct.
Well, I mean. I'm just saying, okay.
Wait.
There is a difference here. Why is that? Even if we are in the eternally inflating space time, for any observer, we can only see a finite patch of the repeating surface.
If you are in a generalization, which is eternal, or not?
If we are in the eternally inflating space,
any observer at finite time. Even if
I were you, we don't really see a finite repeating time.
Yes.
So we will never be able to at infinite.
Yeah, if you are in a relation which is eternal, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah,
so is there some more practical, say, local matter than the law?
I don't know the answer to the question. I mean, this is it's a very different question.
Yes.
It's interesting, but I didn't. Yeah. I mean, as you probably can begin to see, this calculation to me are not completely trivial, and every question is kind of hard to answer. So, for the moment, we're just trying to see which answer we can get. Not all the questions are answerable. Yeah, even if it was fine. So now, this was just the starting point, actually. Sorry, So we found that the phase transition, these are very much modified and complete methods were found already. But it was very, very simple, just the generic feature of the solution we're finding phase transition. But now let's really see what is this probability distribution of the volume. And let's start with omega bigger than 1. That is, now we are not in a time inflation. Let's see what is the probability distribution of the volume. Of course, this is a random variable, let's see what it is. So this is the differential equation, and I don't know it, the solution. But I have a solution to regimes. I know there is a cross-stitching of the solution, and another solution to regime. When f is close to the top of the potential, then the solution you can find is a Gaussian with e to the minus tau plus tau 1 squared. However, I also know it when it is near the bottom of the potential. It is the linear solution, the solution to the linearized potential. And it is, of course, a sum of exponentials, because it's a linear equation. Well, omega plus omega minus are this real quantity. Again, notice that there is the omega equal 1 with the excitation. Now we are in omega bigger than 1. So now the solution to regimes are when it is up here and when it is here. And also, I need to pose the boundary condition, which was that at time equals 0, f should have been equal to e to the minus zeta. And since I will be dominated later by zeta equals 0, then I can impose this boundary condition with the linear solution. We check at this equation. And for tau 0, consistently, the solution will be it's of this form. And this means that plugging back this solution into here, one gets that the linear solution, once the boundary condition has been implemented, is this equation here, where the only thing important is that this is analytic, and this is not analytic in zeta. Non-analytic, why is it analytic? Because I have to do, after I found the solution, I have to do the Laplace transform with respect to zeta, which is the boundary condition, but the Laplace transform on the complex plane. Means that I have to analytically verify the Laplace transform, I have to analytically continue the initial condition, and do this integral. And so I care of zeta if it is analytic or not. And here it seems that this is like omega plus square is not integer. This is like square root of 3, square root of zeta, something like that. And therefore it's not analytic. It means that the solution has a branch cut start at zeta equals 0. So now I know the solution here in two regimes, here and here, and then there is a branch cut at 0. Let's see if I can do the integral, moving this, just these two things. And I'll show you that it is possible. And the other, with this integral, you see that there is an exponential here. So it smells like a saddle point. So I will be able to do the saddle point approximation, and I will check if the saddle point lies in the regime where I know the solution, in particular, will be the Gaussian, or along the singularity, along the cut. And let's do it. So let's start, let's do this integral, we have to do this integral, and let's see if there is a saddle point. And if the saddle point lies, let's see if there is a saddle point that lies in the region where I know the solution. In that case, I could do the integral. Notice that in the plane zeta, I have to do this, the integral on this line as a partial initial condition. This is the plane zeta. And now, this saddle point integral of this is just e to the minus s zeta 0, where s is the familiar zeta 0 is the saddle point, and s is just the exponent of this quantity. In particular, if f is the Gaussian, you see that s zeta is just the Gaussian, the exponent of the Gaussian, tau plus 0 squared, minus zeta b. And then, zero we just found before it was just this quantity. So we're getting this. And now we have to maximize this point. We have to find x prime equals 0. And this is the settle point. This gives me the settle point. And the solution is this quantity here. Okay? And then you can check that for some volumes, this zeta 0 is within where the tau zero is where you can trust the Gaussian solution. And therefore, you can take the saddle point approximation, and you find this result. This is rho, the right distribution of the volume as a function of the initial point, is this exponential with some function of omega here and the log of the volume over the gap. It is in terms of any folding, where any folding is just the logarithm of the volume, is like a sort of Gaussian e to the minus omega n minus n classical. So it's like a Gaussian centered around some point. The point where it is centered, it is it's a Gaussian with a width of the 1 over omega. So it's pretty small width. We have to talk about omega over the few. So it's quite centered around the average. But the average is V bar, which is if the 3 n classical, the classical volume, times this factor, this exponential factor here. And this exponential factor here is such that for omega goes to infinity, this goes to 1. Omega goes to infinity means a very, very steep potential. In that regime, you don't expect any quantum fluctuation to be important. And the other opportunity you get, in fact, a delta function centered around the volume, the classical volume. But as long as you're going to the phase transition, omega goes to 1, the average moves. The width doesn't grow a lot, but you can see over the wall. But the average moves, and this effect becomes 2. This means that you get centered to a volume V, a border E to the 6 in classical. This is much larger than the classical volume, because the classical volume would be E to the 3 in classical. This is exponentially larger. This means that the typical trajectory has lasted the double than the classical one. But it's pretty large, but it's not incredibly large. However, this is a good point. Approximately, we found this Gaussian solution where rho as a function of V, there is this Gaussian part. We cannot go on forever, because as V becomes larger and larger, the saddle point starts on the real axis here positive. So this is my integral, I deform the counter, I do the integral like this. But it moves towards the origin. At a certain point, from V over the V bar, I cannot trust anymore the Gaussian solution and approach the cut. At that point, what do I do? At the point, if I want to set a distribution from V larger than V bar, I cannot trust anymore my solution, that's why there is this gray line here. But I can decide to close the counter along the cut. Remember that there was a cut here. We found that there was a cut. And see if I can do the integral along the cut. The integral is the Laplace transform. So, by doing the integral along the cut, one sees that this integral nothing but becomes the imaginary part of F, the integral of integral minus V zeta, the imaginary part along the cut. And because of this exponential suppression, V minus V zeta, you want to read it in terms of small zeta. Small zeta means f near the bottom of the potential and the linear solution I can use. I can use the linear solution, which was the primary part is the non-analytic part. So, plugging back, you do the integral and you find that rho of v goes like 1 over v to this power, which is a little bigger than 2. And this is when it is valid. So, for one larger than the map, I do the integral along the cut and I'm getting for the solution in this machine. So here I'm getting I know the different ways, I know that the average and the normalization of this integral, which was 1. So I know what is the average and I know the tails. So I pretty much know all what I think this is all what one wants to know about the Boyle distribution. What is the bulk, how big is that, and what are the tails? That's it.
Sorry, what happened to the special values when there is no cut?
Sorry?
What happened to the special values when there is no cut? For special choice of omega, you're not going to get a cut. This power was a, it could be an integer, right? There's some certain algebraic special points here.
Yeah, we don't know. Because there is a second cut. I mean, I didn't show, but there is a second cut here. There is a superimposed cut to this one starts there, and that doesn't go away for any value of omega. And now, and the center point goes through this cut. So we don't have the solution for those cases very well, because the solution doesn't become any more dominated by this by the origin. But I mean, I don't think anything strange occurs. No, sorry, I take it back. No, I think so. You can begin to continue this to pass the center point, and you're getting this exponential very similar to this one. Yeah. I don't know anyway why it is so. I mean, yeah, it's.
Probably it's time to wrap up.
So now we can do the case of omega less than 1, and we show just the result. You can do the same tricks, center point, or. Along the cut, and just to show you the result. So now we do omega 1 minus epsilon, that is just inside the time inflation. Let's see what occurs to the probability distribution. So the resulting plot is this. So inside the time inflation, again the same kind of tricks. Again, set the point, you look for the set of point. What occurs, the only thing that changes is that the cut moves, which before was starting from the origin, moves away from the origin in the negative z. That is, for omega equal 1 minus epsilon, you have the same distribution, and epsilon very, very small. What occurs is that you get the same distribution as omega 1 plus epsilon, not even inflation, which would be dotted here. But then a very large volume, here, what is the epsilon, where the epsilon is e to the 1 over x, you know, so a huge volume, it's huge volumes, then, okay, the integral, the cut, the mean to fit that the cut does is no more at the origin, so the distribution goes e to the minus the cut fit, that is equal exponentially. So the distribution is like, exactly like the one of omega 1 plus epsilon, but for very large volume, it is smaller, and it goes exponentially instead of 1/t². It goes exponentially down. This is nothing but the probability. In fact, now the integral is no more 1, because you have some finite probability of having very infinite volume. This is the probability which has moved to infinity. This is exactly what we get is missing. And this is the effect. In fact, the localization which have created a very large volume, if they create a large volume and you are in a balance of which are the equation, then they become really infinite and they go away. Now, as epsilon becomes smaller and smaller, larger and larger, but not that large, still in our approximation, this the epsilon
sorry,
moves
what,
from infinity.
What was the epsilon?
Ah, sorry, okay.
Okay.
Omega is 1/ε, so I can study only this limit. So still within our approximation, the epsilon starts from infinity, goes on to z, and at a certain point, begin to cut, comes in, cuts all the distribution. And for v, with epsilon a bit larger, I can really compute exactly, you see, there are not at the spot, and I get that it is the certain point of the graph, the Gaussian, and then it cuts, and you have the distribution. So this is how. As you in an inflation, the probability of an infinity finite volume it just disappears very quickly, but you know, and because there is an exponential gain. Okay, we can now, okay, I'll just wrap up. There are some ways to explain intuitively this result. It comes from understanding the jumps. Some, just to have some consistency checks, you can do this argument you can find what is the trajectory of the inflaton, which dominates the distribution. And it's very, unfortunately, not that time, but it's very simple to understand all the various behaviors we got. We got a Gaussian here in the number of refolding, and an exponential in the number of refolding. This 1/t² was e to the minus some power, e to the minus n. And then there was in the time inflation, this super exponential. And just as a possibility check, you can all understand them. And finally, just to summarize, I just made a statement. This calculation, not only it has some properties, some ways to study time inflation, which is okay, they were not done before, but allows also, gives us a strange result, some interesting result, which is useful, might be useful for the interpretation of quantum gravity. The reason is that the sitter has a finite entropy, so it should be described by a finite, in the space of finite dimension. However, we don't really know more than that, we don't know what it means. But if one can find that the classical number before, because if you do the SDC in the n classical, this is equal to this quantity, and you can integrate it. And then you can see that the number classical defaulting, you can do this derivative because number classical defaulting is HDT, and the HDT you know is spread out, and so you can just integrate. And you get the number classical defaulting. Is less than the sitter entropy, so here I should say at the end of inflation, over 12. This means that now what we find in our probability distribution is that the probability of the volume larger than the bar is somehow always suppressed. This is the average volume. And even if you go to the inflation, the average bar finite volume is never large, it's never larger than the bar. In particular, the probability of the volume be larger than e to the s the sitter over 2 is always smaller than e to the minus. Is alpha times s the sitter, that is always smaller than the non-perturbative correction expected from quantum gravity. This means that the probability of a finite volume are larger than this quantity, because I can relate it because this is like nothing but larger than even the same class 6 and classical, when a classical is suddenly the bound. It's smaller than the non-perturbative quantum gravity correction that I don't know. This means that since here they're so small, it means that maybe quantum gravity just kills them. And this means that the probability to have a finite volume, every finite volume, is always smaller than e to the s the sitter over 2. This is a bound on the volume you can produce during inflation. And this is a very, I think, a very important consistency check of the sitter idea of complementarity. I'll explain in 1 second. Because, like for the black hole, you have the simple complementar, like in black hole, when you wait a cell horizon, after a while you begin to recover information from the horizon, from the Hawking radiation. Now, if the simple complementarity works, if you live in the sitter, this is like an inflated space time. If you live in the sitter, the narrow cell sooner or later you are able to get any information out. But if instead but this is not the problem in the sitter, because you're never going to see exact sitter, you're never going to see that cell. So there is no cell parallels. But if you are if instead your realization was finite, you stay there for a while, and you get all the sooner or later you get the information, but then inflation ends. And you wait a long time, you're getting all the volume of the universe. You see all everything again. And this means that you're seeing the information the sitter also the one outside the horizon. Not only from the organization, but directly. And this would be a contradiction of the so-called Xerox paradox, that in fact it's forbidden in the black hole. And this is there should be therefore a bound on the number refolding. This is what we found. And now we have also the precise number. The precise number is this one. And this one, if people know, I mean, it's very similar to the one of the black hole. In the black hole, you get information after you set the page adjustment, you get information over a number of photons of the S black hole over 2. Here you see, you're never allowed to have more than S the center over 2 refoldings. I think this is suggested, we don't know why, but this is a number that the theory of quantum gravity in the should explain. This is a precise number, it should mean something. So let me conclude. I apologize for any. I'm a little over. There were more questions than I thought. They're welcome. So I apologize. But so I think I should. Eternal inflation and the landscape are to me very important problem, and I require detailed calculation. Yeah, actually, the calculation of the volume, the very distribution of the volume of the universe after inflation. And we've seen. Roughly speaking, you can really build the probability distribution. You can know all the various properties, the average, the details. You see that what eternal inflation means. And we found that every time the volume is finite, at the very end, just one and three, the volume is finite, it is smaller than e to the sc over 2, which means something which it's a consistency, it lies us on quantum gravity, because this is a consistency check of the reciprocal complementarity, and allows now, the explaining of these two allows for doing educated speculation. Thanks.
One very urgent question. Could maybe two very urgent questions. Okay, so that's fine.
Okay, sorry. I just understand your second class of transparency where you said that. So basically, you want to say that the quantum zero theory wants to, say, forbid the possibility to have too long. Say too much inflation, right?
Yes.
So you do think that the inflation, okay, so I mean, there seems to be some sense that in which when you have a black hole, when the black hole evaporates, the whole thing will disappear, and then so what it goes inside so should come out so through the radiation. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the case of the distant space, it seems the argument that the information beyond our even horizon. Should come back by hot radiation. That's
not applied.
So that does seem to be a very strong argument.
Yeah.
So in that sense, so if you're allowed to give up to that argument, do you still think that there should be some bound on the total length of inflation or the argument may not apply?
So the bound there is a bound. This is the calculation.
Right, but just
now, what does it mean? What does it mean? I don't know. So the argument, you're right, you're not completely false at the end of the near horizon geometry is the same. Yeah, the idea of the sitter complementary is exactly that. The idea, this is a check of the idea of the sitter complementary. I didn't say I didn't say this is the complementarity, which is the true thing. So if this is the complementarity idea, means that you are leaving the inflation coming back, but it is taking all the horizon at the same on the same foot. It makes, I think it makes sense. And if that is true, this should have been a consistency check. And this coming back.
Only at the classical level, so I mean you do have a title on that.
Yeah, also only okay. The non-perturbative quantum gravity.
Okay.
So what I neglect here are non-perturbative quantum gravity correction.
I think it's better probably if it's less than the others go.
Yeah,
I think you can continue this.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'm not saying that. It's a technical. It's a classical equation. And you see that if you are